Okay, thank you, Caitlin. All right, Jan. So we've handed this out to those that I feel like that it's necessary. Most certainly, Assistant Chief, the liaison between Executive and the Osage LLC, also the Treasurer and Chair Freeman and CEO, Mr. Goff. So that, you know, the goal here is to be on the same page, that we all understand as Osages what we're doing here. And it kind of helps. I want the dialogue to be in a positive manner, that we know we're, you know, what each other are doing and what each other need to do, you know, so that we can be useful stewards to our people and to the money and things of that nature, and whatever it is that we need to get done, that we do, as mentioned, through communication, effective communication, very efficient. And so I appreciate your information that you've provided. And I also want to congratulate you on your, well, most certainly your parking at OSU. That was pretty awesome. I was like, wow, she's pretty fancy. So go Pokes. So, all right, Jan.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Do you have a preference on the order that I go through, Bison Cares Cattle or Land Stewardship?
Well, I think that if you want to discuss the Cares Cattle, I think that's where we left off with Mr. Goff, that we discuss the Cares if we could, and stay on that subject matter before we go into the bison, if that's okay.
Yes, of course. We put together, I'm going to run through this, and some of it's kind of been talked about, but really first to the question of the intent of the Cares Cattle, I made sure to put on at the top of this page the definition of food sovereignty. Food sovereignty is the right of peoples to healthy and culturally appropriate food produced through ecologically sound and sustainable methods, and the right to define their own food and agriculture systems. So the Cares Cattle were purchased in the COVID-19 pandemic to support food sovereignty. So that is the intent of the herd. Osage County is a food desert. We all live here. We experience that with minimal grocery stores. And through the development of the Butcher House Meats facility, what was seen was that the Osage Nation had animals at the ranch, but the breakdown in food systems, we couldn't get those processed. So the intent of the herd is to combat that, to provide food owned by the Osage Nation, managed on Osage Nation land, and then processed through an Osage Nation facility to provide clean, healthy meat that we know exactly where it came from. We know the whole origin of the animal to our people at a cost that they can easily access. So we're still working on the pipeline for that. With the pastures we have, ideally we need a little bit more acreage so we can pull the calves off, we can feed out the calves, we can hold some heifers back and replace cows, you know, things like that, just little logistical things. But the intent, and is happening right now, our coal cows and steers are going through the meat facility. So that's the intent of the herd, is to provide meat to our people.
I want to ask a question real quick. We've also received an appropriation request last minute. I don't know whether you had sent that to Treasury some time ago, but we just now received it last week, I believe. Is that right, Chair Stabler? And for quite a large amount of an appropriation request. And right now, Chair Stabler and myself as Vice Chair and the Budget Analyst and Treasurer are working together to prioritize these appropriation requests. Right now, yours isn't being considered because it came so late. And so I just want you to keep that in mind as you're talking about the need and what you're doing. We don't understand why you're asking for it right now. and why it wasn't, you know, before session when we initially asked for support docs and things of that nature. But we just want to make sure, I just want you to try to address that as well as you're going through your update.
Chair. I did provide a memo on how in funding that opportunity that we're speaking of, how that would return back internally to the nation. And we'll look to discuss that, I think, later in appropriations.
Okay, thank you, sir. Go ahead, Jan.
So the summary about the CARES cattle, I'm going to try to not read this word for word because I know that you can read it when you get time. But as it was mentioned, the CARES cattle sublease with the Osage LLC was executed November 16th. This fiscal year, as I mentioned briefly, we've processed 20 cull cows right now to date. And with the employee boxes or the employee bundles that were provided to all of the Osage Nation employees last, I believe it was in December, we were able to put all of the meat in those boxes was Osage Nation meat through Osage Nation animals through the CARES cows. So we intend to do that as well for this next year. I really looked at that as really the epitome of food sovereignty. Where instead of paying an outside source for an employee appreciation gift, if you say, we kept those funds internal because we used our own animals for that, and that was CARES cattle. And so we have enough animals set aside in a pasture, and we're protecting those so we can process those a little bit later in anticipation of employee appreciation bundles. We have approximately 240 calves on the ground that have been born, and with about 50 more still to be born. We have two conservation specialist positions that were hired, and they primarily take care of the CARES cattle and the bison. But those positions are also to take a more engaging role with how the Osage Nation manages any Osage Nation land. So the intent is to kind of use the pastures that we're currently subleasing as a model and be more engaged on working with real estate services, for example, on developing stocking rates for each particular property and really try to create a land management plan specific to each property that the Osage Nation has. So we're protecting our resources and utilizing those to the best that we can. We started working with several technical experts. One of those came to meet with us in March, analyzed the cattle herd, visited a couple the pens that we have access to in the feedlot, and are working to, as I mentioned before, creating that pipeline. They're working with us to help build that pipeline. We purchased a stock trailer in March, so that really has assisted dramatically in transporting livestock to the butcher house. I'm trying to just hit kind of the high points. And kind of to the conversation on burning, in this packet, there's a map of that shows the drought category that Osage County is in. And so, I mean, you can, as we all know, we're experiencing a significant drought. So that was a decision to not, early on, it was a decision that we had made as a department that we should not burn. With the drought, with the land situation, we had worked with NRCS and some other organizations and made the decision that we should not burn. We needed to protect our forage this year with the current situation, and then hopefully we get some rain and next year can be a different story. So we are very specific on making the decisions that we make are scientifically based. We use the information available to us to make the most appropriate decisions.
So it sounds like, Jan, that the who you're leasing from, they may have a burn plan, and then you have a burn plan. And so are you guys communicating now about that, or is this the is that something that you've been communicating with Mr. Goff?
I have not communicated with Mr. Goff, but it sounds like based on his conversation earlier that communication needs to be made. We had been working with the ranch staff, Mike Alexander and his staff. And I'm just being frank, I was confused at the specific time in the fire that he was talking about, that the sublessee of the Osage Nation, that there was no communication prior to the burn. I think that that's pretty normal communication, and he had mentioned that that's something that needs to be had. So I don't see any issues with that moving forward. On planning ahead and burning plans.
Okay, because that sounds like that was something that could be addressed and and talked about and communicated both as the leasee and the leasor. Mm-hmm. And you know, just important, and then of course shared with Mr. Alexander. Yes. And so that, I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Have
a question?
Oh, sure. I was just going to mention real quick, if I may, that we had purchased through Capital Assets a fire suppression skid unit in anticipation of managing the Bison Preserve and the CARES cattle pastures. So that has been very beneficial, and we are working with a rural fire department who's going to loan the Department of Natural Resources a 5-ton so we can more effectively address burning issues. Specifically wildland fire events. And Ross Walker, the director of Wildland Fire, was going to be here to talk about fire and our kind of plan for that. He's currently out attending to a fire on one of the CARES cattle pastures. So he apologized for not being able to be here. But I think that, and just quickly, I know it's been said, but moving forward, we recognize that the lease for the CARES cattle pastures ends October 31st, so that is a significant concern for us to make sure that we have that lease secured or some other acreage secured, because as I mentioned, the intent for the CARES cattle is to be a source of food for the Osage people. So we intend on maintaining the herd, and I know James is online, but I believe that because it was purchased with CARES Act funds, we need to maintain that herd for a number of years, at least until, you know, the audit period is over. So we intend to keep that herd and you know, to promote food sovereignty for the Osage Nation.
Okay, so it sounds as though you guys are requesting then from the LLC more acreage for your CARES cattle.
It would be ideal. I know early on we had a conversation because they also experienced, you know, wildland fire situation last October. So we coordinated we were originally going to get 3 pastures for the CARES cattle, and we ended up getting 2, which is understandable. I understand that they also had reduced forage because of the wildland fire situation. So we would like to expand on what we have currently and get to a little bit bigger acreage where we can sustain the herd a little bit better.
So would the lease monies come out of your DNR budget?
Yes, it's the DNR domestic budget, I believe.
Okay, the one that you split out?
Yes.
Between them, okay. Okay, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for being here today, Ms. Jan, or Director Heyman. So when we talk about CARES cattle, we talk about cattle, but we're not talking about like the pipeline that you're in need of. We're talking about the herd of mama cows that were purchased. right? So I think education purposes for anybody sitting in the room here, and also anybody who's listening in, CARES Cattle is just an overarching goal that you have to utilize for food sovereignty, but you're not there yet because the baby cows are just now being born. And so as far as management goes, these cattle that you decide to keep back, these young ones that you decide to keep back and raise up, aren't going to be ready for butcher until, what, 30 months? And then when we say 30 months, explain that to people, what that actually means, because it's not what some people may think. Mm-hmm. And so then, because people are talking, well, I don't understand. We have cattle. Why can't we just send them to the butcher house? It's just not that simple. And then because you're asking for another infusion to try to understand why we need it, and we're trying to meet the needs in a food desert in Hominy also, you know, that we have there. At least they have that counter there. But you don't have cattle right now secured to meet that demand at the butcher house because our herd is not managed yet to the point where they can start providing that pipeline. And so it's going to be a while until we get there. So in order to keep the meat coming to the butcher house, that we need to be coming to the butcher house, we're going to have to purchase more young cattle that you're going to put in the feedlot, fatten up for what? How many days do you like to fatten them up for? I mean, are you guys doing 90 days, 60? I mean, what are you doing?
Well, we haven't really fed out too many yet. They've just been grass-fed primarily. We worked with the ranch through the feedlot that was built with CARES funding to get some prepared and sent through. But we typically look at 90 to 120 days.
So we're going to end up in a spot where we're not going to have that pipeline because we don't have the herd management at this point and the numbers to do that, right?
That is correct. We're currently using our cull cows primarily. And yes, it will take some time to get the calves up. And that's also, once we get the calf crop ready to start feeding out, that's going to help Butcher House significantly because we can provide the cattle at a more reasonable cost than purchasing outside boxed beef, for example. And to your point, the 30-month is a, it's definitely something to take into consideration because that's a, because Butcher House is a USDA-inspected facility. Every animal that comes through that's inspected is aged. And so they're, it changes the pricing. The under 30 months is a higher quality overall meat than over 30 months.
There's a fine line there. Mm-hmm. So we don't have, so to your point, Chair, you know, about the budget that they have submitted for the purchase of CARES cattle, it's not to purchase mama cows. It's to purchase young cattle meat to put to the butcher house because their demand is not going to be met. And do you have a stop date for that? A hard date when that demand is? Cattle are so high right now.
Yeah, I'm not for sure if I have a specific date. I just, and we can talk more in appropriations, yeah. But yes, those funds are important to make sure that there's meat to be purchased. And also, the butcher house had a meat sale, I think it was April 1st. And that particular day, we sold about 8,000 pounds of beef hamburger. So, and I saw several pictures of throughout the day, people coming in, and there was a lot of Osages that came that day. So there's a need for food sovereignty. And I know we tried to keep the prices low to get people in, and that was the intent, to be able to showcase what we're doing and to get, you know, the CARES cattle, calves and cull cows to the people. And that was primarily cull cows.
Okay. I have a question about the lease that's coming to term in 6 months. So what's the plan if you can't come to negotiations with Osage LLC to where are the cattle going to go? Because they have to have a place to go. And then if you're going to continue to grow the herd or you're going to bring in, young ones to feed out for meat. But I mean, what are we talking? Where are you guys? What are y'all looking at?
If I may, we are, I think as a team, thinking outside the box. Ideally, we would want to sublease with the Osage LLC and keep, from my perspective overseeing these programs, keep Osage Nation funds moving to an Osage Nation entity to keep those funds in within the Osage Nation. I think for me is important rather than the funds leaving the Osage Nation. So for me, priority number one is to work with the Osage LLC and have a new sublease executed. If that were to not happen, we have been in conversations with the Osage Nation Real Estate Services office to see if there's any availability of land that would be leased through their office. And then past that, just word of mouth, trying to just see what might be available outside of the Osage Nation in Osage County.
May I continue?
Okay.
What's the ideal acreage that you're looking at? It's okay if you don't have it. I mean, I think I have a pasture.
So our current pastures, there's one pasture that's 1,806 acres and one pasture that's 1,256 acres. So that's what we currently use. One of the other pastures that we, again, we worked with the LLC on because of their wildland fire situation last fall, would have been an additional, just a little over 1,500 acres.
The third pasture that you would like to utilize, but you guys worked together to understanding that it wasn't available.
Yes, and I'll total that real quick.
And that's still what you're actually would ideally need still going forward with what your plans are with the Karis cattle.
Ideally, between 5,000 and 6,000 grazable acres would be ideal.
And you're at 3,255.
I believe so, yes.
So, Mr. Freeman, is that something that the board is looking to do, is to lease to the to the nation? Well, I mean, the lease is coming up for renewal. Have you guys discussed this far?
I mean, this is the first time we've heard about it.
Okay.
And they're wanting 5,000 or 6,000 acres.
And so,
that land is all tied up. Yeah, with leases and our cattle on them. I mean, we can start selling our herd, and we can. So if the intent is, because I know they want more land for the buffalo too. So if the intent is that, then Congress is going to have to make this decision. This isn't a decision for this board to make. So we were asked to take that ranch. We did not want it. And so we've taken it. And so, but you guys are going to have to decide if you're going to have a property that's going to take care of these kind of plans or programs, which I'm not against the programs, but it's going to have to be a decision from Congress to make that. I'm not going to make it. And I'm not going to make the decision when we can get $40 to $45 an acre for subleasing, and then we have our own cattle on that ranch. And so we are at a position where we're making, so that country would bring, so 45, I'm trying to calculate that in my head and it's not happening. I used to be quicker. So if you have 5,000 acres, that's $25,000 to $275,000 worth of revenue, if I did that right. But so, and you're talking about, because what we did on the bison range, we gave that to them for we paid a dollar for that, and we gave them that range back for a dollar. So that's a nonprofit for the ranch, and it's a nonprofit for the Congress. And then on the Karis cattle, we gave that to them on 1250 an acre, because that's actually with the 500,000 we have to put back in that property. That's really averages out about 1250 an acre. And so we were still going to take care of that property. So, but if, and so that's still a break even transaction. And so there's still no money really being made by the LLC on that land, or by Congress for that land. And so my my position would be, as an Osage citizen, is to advise, I mean, my deal is I would look at trying to build capital positions that are going to increase the net worth or the value of the nation as a whole. And so there are programs, and there are, one of them I'm so thankful for, and that's our Medicare SUPs, you know, that are given to us. But that's a welfare system type giving. I mean, it's a program that's given out to the citizens, and I am so grateful for it that I would not want it gone, I wouldn't want it taken away. You know, I love getting it. But my point being is that you've got to somehow fund those. And so if you're wanting to take that ranch and turn it into a nonprofit or a non-entity of being able to make money or to build capital, then I think that's Congress's position to take that and make that decision. And if you tell us that that's what you want to do, then we will go along with it. And because we're just stewards, we were given the burden of trying to get that into a profitable state and run that ranch in a profitable position. So our position is not to make a decision on what's done with that land. That land's owned by the nation, and Congress controls the purse strings. And so if Congress wants that, that's what they want, then Congress needs to tell us that. That's our position. And this is the first we've had this discussion, so I would have to talk to the board and see where they want to go.
Understood. That's what I was going to say, is that it sounds like, so the next step would be, I guess, as the, for you guys, for the LLC, then you would get an appraisal done on the land, and... I was just saying that I'm just trying to think this through. So you guys, knowing the lease is coming up, or on any of the land, you get an appraisal done, I would assume.
That land this year, we subleased, and we were able to get a three-year lease locked in, and so we were able to get a lot more money, and we got that for $46 an acre.
Okay, so but my point is you guys,
cow calf.
But you guys get an appraisal done before you determine a lease amount on any of the land.
Well, I mean, you go into the markets, you know what the markets are bearing. So we don't get formal appraisals. We just know what the land is bringing.
Okay.
In fact, when we had that offer to us, we had land that was being leased at $20 an acre for a cow calf, and so. That position has us at double.
Okay, so I was just trying to think of however you set the price. So when you guys negotiate, because I'm glad that, I mean, maybe you're just, you guys are just now hearing about it, but that's why
we
want you guys to be in front of it. Yes, I agree with food sovereignty, I do, but I also believe it's up to the board, not Congress. It's you're the ones leasing it, not us. Do I want you at the end to provide us a dividend? Most certainly. I understand what you're saying,
okay,
and your position that you're in, and but that's really up to the board.
And the way we came up with our cost, to answer you, we went out for bids.
Okay.
So we actually had like about eight different people bid on that property.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so.
Okay, well, I was just saying then the next step would be you guys determine the cost for them to lease with the renewal, and I would just hope that you guys do have a discussion. I'm most certainly not sitting here telling you,
yes, ma'am,
how to lease your land, but I do appreciate that you both are here and you can understand where their vision's coming from. And hopefully that's something that the Osage LLC would consider. But it's on really up to you guys, not Congress. I just want to make that clear.
Well, just note that if we lease land to the nation, even if the nation agreed to pay $100 an acre for it, that land, that money is coming from Congress to the ranch.
Understand.
Back to Congress.
Yeah, we understand.
Okay. Yeah. So real quick before you, Madam Chair? Mr. Freeman made a comment earlier that I wanted a little bit of clarity on, if that's all right. So I was having a dialogue here with Ms. Heyman concerning the need for what their vision is in looking at being able to feed and put the pipeline of meat into the butcher house and gonna need more acreage. I heard you make a comment that the land's locked up right now. Is it locked up in leases that you've negotiated?
Yes.
And you did 3-year leases?
On our cow-calf operation. We took part of that into yearlings, and I think it's about $8,000 we put yearlings on this year, and the reason for it is we're trying to manage the drought. So we decided not to increase our herd because of the drought situation. We took a lot of that land into yearlings on a 120-day input, and we did that so that if we get into a drought situation that we're able to move those cows and get them into a better position. Because there's also going to be that drought has created a water problem mm-hmm. in some of those areas. So we're trying to manage the drought part of that also.
Understandable, because you guys have your herd.
Right.
Can I continue? I'm sorry, I'm being really bad today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I keep trying to sit down.
So you're saying there's a possibility that there's not going to be available acreage because of binding contracts that you already have in place.
With the cow herd we've got currently and the leases we've got in place currently, we don't have the land to lease. And then if we are in a drought situation, the cattle that the yearling country, we're going to have to probably absorb part of it to take care of our cow situation, or else we're going to have to be put in a position where we have to sell cattle.
Okay, which that's what everybody goes
right.
through.
Yeah.
So, and then you talked about earlier, so in talking about the cattle that we have, so let's say they want to renew what they have mm-hmm. currently. How do you feel? I mean, is your drought management going to be allowable for that with the current herd that you have?
I mean, they have that already.
They do until right. September 30th.
And that will be a discussion that will be presented to the board.
I understand.
Right.
But those pastures that they are utilizing. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to decide as a board, do we need to use those for our own drought management with our own cattle that we're trying to do? And back to your point about, you know, saying that that's going to be Congress's decision. Really, no, because I don't believe it is. I believe that we're trying to figure out what the balance is on how to make this work for the most for our people, but also how to be profitable in it, which food sovereignty, there's not a profit in food sovereignty. The profit is that we're fed.
Right.
That's how I look at it. And so you have an asset in the cattle, but the profit is that we're fed, and then we can sell meat down here at the butcher house and make a little bit of money, put it back into the butcher house, all that good thing. So it's just looking at, you know, down the road, we know that we want to continue to feed our people, and I know that you want that too, Mr.
Right.
Freeman, but at the same time, we have to figure out we're in drought, scientific stuff that goes along with it. Everybody goes through these things. And there's a possibility that they can't afford to let y'all lease that land next time because of their cattle, or they have to downsize their cattle and you guys have to decide, you know, what are we going to do here? And that's the negotiation that doesn't need to happen here, in my opinion. But I think that what I would see as a person who's sitting in this seat is that there's got to be a balance of both on the land that we own, because we're all on the same boat. Our oars are just going in different directions. That's how I feel about the situation right now in understanding what is happening with our ranch as far as cattle and Care's cattle go. So I hope you guys can find whatever barriers you guys have and break them down with one another and sit down and have some scientific information also concerning this and what it looks like on land management.
And we do the same thing on land management that Dr. Heyman was talking about. is we try to look at that whole process, which is the whole purpose of that burn, which was actually implemented prior to this board. Yeah. So.
Okay, so.
Chairwoman.
Okay, I'm going to speak, and then Assistant Chief, Congresswoman Staler. Okay. So both of you, very smart people, Mr. Freeman and Jan, I'm serious. And I appreciate what you guys do for us. You're a LLC. They're trying to create economic development that is to give money back to the nation. That's their goal. Your vision is food sovereignty, which is a program until it's lifted. Then it's completely a business. Honestly, that's going to end up being a business if we do it right. So this is where we are. And what I'm trying to say or to get across to both of y'all is to communicate as to where you guys think you guys may be in the next 5 years. You guys have a totally different vision. You have to. You're there to make money. You guys have a totally different vision. And so with that being said, kind of what Congresswoman Lemon said, there's got to be a balance somewhere, because we're looking at the LLC board, where's our dividend? And they're saying, well, you know, we're kind of wrapped up in these subleases where we're not making any money. You got to buy some preserve for a dollar.
Well, and I didn't mean that like, well, a dollar, like in a negative.
I know that, okay. I know that you, okay, that you're not, but I'm just saying, I think that here we are again. We're, you know, we've got this ranch that need, or the ranch should be making a lot of money right now. And so I think as you're a steward, both of you all need to get together and figure out what you're going to come back to executive. Let them know this is what we're doing. And then it'll get back here to Congress, because we're thinking appropriations. We're thinking about what this looks like. You're exactly right. Dr. Hank, you're exactly right. I mean, and Frank, you guys get it. That's why you're here, right? You understand that, yeah, we're going to be paying for it. You're going to come ask for a request for us to pay for a lease that goes back to the LLC. Understood. And we get that. And but I just wanted to say, I want everybody to be clear that they're on two different paths, and it's not their fault. It's not your fault, and it's not your fault. It's just where we are. Assistant Chief?
Yeah, well, briefly, I would just say that as far as the ground that the nation is leasing or subleasing from the Osage LLC currently, we had actually agreed with the LLC board to include what was referenced earlier. It's the land pasture, and it's another 1,700 acres or so. The fire that happened, actually, I think it was the day of the sesquicentennial, burned 7,000 or 8,000 acres, and that's what led to the LLC stating that they couldn't absorb leasing that additional ground because they didn't have any grass. Even though the grass may not have high protein content, you know, a cow needs to have forage and constantly going through, and then they can supplement them other ways. I'm not going to try to get into cow talk. Another thing, you know, is talked about, and it's mentioned, and I agree with the statement that this is not necessarily Congress's decision. It is the LLC board. It is their decision. They've been tasked with that, and under the Constitution, they are under the executive branch. However, there are a couple important documents and attachments that Jan included in her packet. One is ONCA 1735, and I'll just read the title. It said the Best Natural Resources Regulatory Authority in the Environment and Natural Resources Department of the Osage Nation, and to establish an alternate effective date. Throughout that legislation, and it's 3 or 4 or 5 pages, it gives the Department of Natural Resources the authority by law to implement and make sure that even the Osage LLC is being good stewards of the land. So Congress has spoken. There was also an executive order. It's executive order number 1601. And that was right after we purchased the ranch. And Chief Standing Bear laid out seven different provisions through executive order. And it goes into detail about certain things that he wants done. And it also, part of that executive order, it directs all of the boards and commissions, including directions to the Department of Natural Resources on things that shall be done. So Congress does have authority. The Osage LLC has authority. And I know I've used this before, and Frank, you know, I'm sure you've heard it too, but I remember Mark Freeman used to say, we are not a business, but we need to conduct ourselves business-like. We are a government. So it is different. Yes, our LLC needs to make money. We bought those CARES cattle with CARES money. Those CARES provisions don't end for another couple years, so we have to make sure that we meet those requirements. So it's not like we can just sell our cattle or hopefully move them off. I can't even imagine a scenario where the Osage Nation owns property and it's subleasing property from an Osage Nation owned enterprise and we're told to hit the door. It's rather bizarre, and it's not bizarre to anybody sitting in this room, that being a possible outcome. So with those few things said, I think we can figure this out, and I hope, Frank, that you and I can start engaging in productive dialogue. Me as the assistant chief as an elected official, you as the board chair. People like Jan Heyman need to be working with Russell Goff as the CEO. I've told Jan more than once, that's not the role of the assistant chief. That's what you've been hired to do. And Tyler sitting in the room, and I've told Frank, or I've told Tyler, I said, you need to get with their CFO and you guys figure that out. So with those few things said, I'll leave it at that for now, but thank you for the time.
Thank you, Assistant Chief. Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. A lot of what I wanted to bring up has been brought up, so that's good. We've already discussed it. I guess one of the things that I'm still in my head focusing on is the fact that there are circumstances beyond the control of everyone here, and that's over the drought and the scale down of what you've had to do at the LLC with the herd there is also something that DNR needs to look at their herd. And there, I understand this gap that, I equate it to the law of diminishing returns. You keep growing, you're finally going to grow yourself out of business over there. So I think that even though you've got an appropriation coming for another herd to come in with your cattle you've got now, it's something that we've really got to look at as far as whether it's really truly something that you need to be doing at this time. I understand the gap of time of trying to get to the 30 months to get where they're starting to have that chain through the pipeline that can come appropriately and stuff. But if on this one piece of land, it's just not available right now. It's not necessarily because they've overleased or that you've overgrown. It's just the circumstance of the time. And so I think that's what we're asking for now, or what I'm hearing from everyone here. These, each one of you said, these are my problems. And the solution is we may have to slow down for a little bit. Or like you said, find other grazing parcels that you can use. But then again, we're looking at fencing and we're looking at land management that takes years to cultivate. So it's all going to be a little bit of a hardship right now. I think one of the things that really, and maybe I should save this for tomorrow, that it affects me the most of all is to continue to pour money into a project, a plan, we never recover from that. And that's what I would want to see. If you're selling, as like anybody else, if you're selling calves, then that's what you're going to use to replace those animals. Or you're selling from culls, you're going to use that money to replace. And any other business is going to have to keep that figure eight moving where they're buying and selling to grow with the ability to buy and sell. I think so many times because we're a nation and we're in such a big cash flow, it's more like just give us money. Just give us money so that we can stay ahead of the game, right? I guess that's I'm asking the same thing that everyone else does. Everybody's going to have to step back. Everybody's going to have to take a reasonable look. We have an issue. We have a problem. There's not enough cash in the system right now for us to fund everybody. So we're having to make cuts. We've been down this road many times before. It's not pleasant for us any more than it is for anybody else, but we do the best that we can. So I appreciate the information today. Absolutely. I want us to have more scheduled updates so that we can be aware of what's going on. But I don't have any sympathy for a tug of war over issues that are out of our control, I guess is all that I have left to really address. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Speaker?
I was gonna touch on that just briefly that I've heard about the request through I sit on appropriations about the cows, and you know, I reside in a town that has no senior housing, but we have it other places. And I'm not gonna pick cows over senior housing. Not gonna do it. So until we get senior housing figured out for Hominy, that's where my priority lies for me. Everyone else has their own boat. My priority as a member of Congress and my vote will be senior housing and making sure that that comes first. It just has to be. Because I've sat here for 12 years and waited for this body to make senior housing a priority, and we finally did it. And we finally have that for Gray Horse. And we have additional housing units here in Pawhuska. And there was a need. There was a need because there was a list that people were waiting on for years to get into that housing. And now we have Fairfax's and it's full. So, I don't want to hear anyone say, well, they don't care about this department or they don't want to see food sovereignty flourish. I do. But I want to make sure that senior housing in Hominy is taken care of first. So if I'm a no vote for your cows, that's going to be why.
Okay, thank you, Speaker. So I feel like the CARES cattle, we understand. I think we understand. You're asking for more land, and you're going to get with Mr. Goff, I guess, and start discussing what that looks like. I hope there's a good resolvement for both sides. I really do. I really do, because I enjoy that we're able to offer our people meat as well. And I think, you know, food sovereignty is important. And I'm just going to say, because of the ARPA and the regulations attached to it, it's a business. What you're doing is a business. I mean, you're raising cattle. That's a business, right? And businesses fall under the Osage LLC. And where we're and Assistant Chief's right. Talk about we're a government, but we're actually trying to operate businesses with underneath our government. And so it doesn't look right. It's hard to do that. I've been with this government for 20 plus years. And every time we've tried to do that, it doesn't turn out well because we're a government. The government handles social service type issues. The Osage LLC was established to do business. And that's cattle. It's ranching. Whether I understand your comment that y'all didn't ask for the ranch, but here we are. We got broadband being operated up there. That's, you know, they're trying to do business. And it's like, well, it's probably should be under the Osage LLC. We've got the meat processing plant. The goal is eventually, yes, we provide food sovereignty, but you make money. because we're not just selling it to Osages. I have a question, though, for you real quick. Currently, is the meat processing plant providing meat and the harvest land vegetables to the senior or elder nutrition programs now fully and our schools?
I know that I don't have that information right in front of me, but I know that the Butcher House and Harley Moore has engaged with Title VI, with the Wheelas, with the POSCA, especially on the meat side of it. That was one of the reasons why the facility is USDA inspected. So animals that come through our facility can be inspected and then sold back to the federal programs. The harvest land is a little more challenging. The produce isn't yet in the facilities. Just the level of the oversight from USDA is different. So we're navigating that process right now. We've been working with some technical experts to help us navigate that process so the produce can be sold. It can be donated, but right now it can't be sold. So we're trying to get that system in place where we could do that. And that's just its own inspection process that we have to go through and meet, you know, federal requirements and guidelines.
Okay. So how are we selling it at a farmer's market?
Because farmer's market has different regulations and oversight. So at a farmer's market, we're selling it as a producer, not as a inspected facility, if that makes sense.
Okay. I think so. Okay. I just wanted to get that off. Congresswoman Stabler?
I just forgot the end of my last comments that I was going to say, because I'm so excited about it today to get the definition of a nonprofit from Christopher. And I just have to rub it in a little bit more. Nonprofits can make money as long as that money goes back into the program that you're doing. So I, you know, when we talk about the fact that you're running a business, you really are running a business. But it's a great business to have, to be able to offer and to do it. And we just want to see you succeed at it and do it well. But it's going to take some real work to be able to manage it under the current circumstances. So I didn't want you to leave here thinking I was just bashing everybody in the room. But I just, this is why we fail, is because we just keep going after the cash and what we want to do next and what we want to do next and not thinking about how we're going to manage all of this. And that's, I hope, what the message comes out, is we all need to work together to manage our assets better, our systems better. Thanks.
Right quick, Chairwoman, I just want to point out a bit of a silver lining regarding this drought situation. I mean, calf crop or cattle prices, especially calves, are selling at or near record profits right now, record levels, huh?
Yeah, understood.
Right, so.
I think you guys have some cattle for sale as well.
We have money on the hoof. Both entities.
Yes, we are getting ready to market our fall calves, and I have talked to a friend of mine in Nebraska in fall. He had a bunch of fall calves, steers, 550, that sold for $277.
Incredible. Yeah.
So I hope that through the Sovereign program, I'm hoping that anybody past 70 is actually given all their meat. Because people past 70 are not going to be able to afford to buy it.
Right. So we just sold, we sold some also, and it was $200 more per head. What was like $227.35 more per head than last year at this time.
Last year we got 168 or 169. I'd have to go back and look, and which I thought was high.
I did too.
Sort of like when the guy bid on that land for those cows, I told Bourbon, we were going through all the bids, and I said, I think he made a mistake. I don't think this is real because it was so high. Mm-hmm. But it's because these cattle are so high. So, and they say it's going to be that way for several years.
Well, I think if we could take the acreage that you guys are, you know, the stewards of and have the lease on, I mean, it's, I feel like it's also good to diversify your portfolio. And I don't know what this is going to end up looking like and with regards to the drought and things of that nature, but I most certainly hope, and I believe in your board, believe in you, Jan, if you guys could just come to common ground and get this addressed, because it's important. I know it's important to both of you guys, so both entities. And if Treasurer McIntosh, if you could get with Mr. Goff and address the invoicing so we can get that. What I don't like is hearing the same stuff over and over because we haven't communicated. We're all on the same team. Every one of us. We're on the same team. And I think that if we could just have conversations and address the issues and move forward in a positive manner. Because when we do that, our people believe in us. Jan, and that's most important.
Mr. McIntosh and I, we have had probably 5 or 6 conversations in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, good.
I thought that we were getting him what he was needing.
So. Chair.
Yes.
I just wanted to make that I have reached out to have those meetings. And I think from this meeting moving forward, we will have those meetings.
Okay, I just think it's important. Let's just get, and I know everybody's busy. I understand. But, if you're still talking about it a month from now, then good grief.
You can send invites, but that's all you can do.
I know. Understood. Congresswoman Lemon.
Just have one more comment, and I don't know, and it's really just a consideration that I hope that everybody that's in the cattle business, which is the ranch and DNR, because you are in the cattle business, our assistant chief might roll his eyes at this. It's okay if you do.
I don't roll my eyes.
Oh, really? Oh, yes, oh gosh, okay. He might snicker. I'm just giving you a hard time. I just want to know if you guys are considering looking at herd management in a way of moving away from black cattle, moving more toward drought-resistant animals, in the sense of we are in a 1,200-year drought. We don't know when this is. This is the worst it's been 1,200 years as a whole when you're looking at the entire globe. And so this isn't going to stop. It's not going to go away, I don't think. I know we had flooding, but we still end up in a drought. What was it? That big flood, what was it, three, four years ago? We're still in a drought, So I don't know if that's something that you're looking down the road scientifically, if people are looking at it also. That there's people around here, if you start paying attention, some of these pastures, they're going to like the Brahma Hereford mix, or they're going to a South Pole. I don't know if you guys have heard of a South Pole or not. This is just extra information. It's kind of a funny. It was a breed created by the head singer of Alabama. But you don't have to feed them grain at all. Coriannies, some longhorns, but you're going to get more for your South Poles. But I'm just saying, it's something to start thinking about and heading toward, if you would, and managing even better. And then the food sovereignty piece of it also, because of course black cattle are going to get hotter. They're going to not going to fare as well, and all that type of stuff. It's just something to think about. Now, actually, it's not down the road. It's here. And or other animals that don't require so much grass. That's going to be a hard thing to sell here in Osage County. But it's something that we as Osages have learned how to survive this long. We need to be thinking down the road as how do we survive in mega drought? How do we feed ourselves in mega drought? Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Okay, I just want to make another comment. Assistant Chief, you pointed out, so I know you think it's important, and I do too, the appendix and A, B, and C with the executive order and with 1735 and 1730. I wanted to just ensure, as the liaison from the executive branch, this executive order was back in 2016. And I don't know that the board was aware of the executive order or not. We don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Also, these bills were back in 2017. And I'm glad that you brought them up, but the important thing is that they're shared with the board, that they understand that that's in law. and the executive order. I just think it's part of that, what Congresswoman Lemon's trying to bring up by these boards being trained and having good information, because chances are they weren't even aware of them. And so I'm glad that you bring them up. But as the liaison, I think that would be a great way to start. Like, hey, by the way, did you even know that these are in place? And because we're finding that from different boards when we bring up the anything in the code or executive orders and things of that nature, they're like, we had no idea. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but I appreciate you bringing it up. But I think that it needs to be formally sent to the board, and they're just so that they're aware of it. That's just my opinion, so that we can communicate effectively. But thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Oh, we're only here till 4? Oh, I thought it was here till 5.
It's till 4.
Sorry, never mind.
Oh, it's fine.
I'm good.
Okay, so Miss Congresswoman Stabler, are you good? Just keep moving.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think another item we wanted to bring up on the bison, it was very clear that Chief Standing Bear is wanting to expand the buffalo, the preserve. I think that that needs to be something else. I'm sure he shared that with the board, that you're aware that Kahika wants to expand the bison.
He told me the other day he wanted 5,000 acres.
Okay. So now that you have all these requests and these needs and what have you, then I guess when you get with your board, you guys, you know, look at that.
You need to understand that if we take 14,000 acres out of that ranch, that would create $630,000 in gross revenue. So you guys need to think about that when you're asking us to give up that land.
But we're not asking you. Well, just make sure you understand, okay. It's not Congress.
You're going to have to give me direction on if you want that ranch to be
not
profitable.
Well, we can't give you direction, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Well, then if I make a decision, then I've been asked to make a profit on that ranch. And so I've got to.
Oh, Congresswoman Stabler?
That's what I was getting ready to say. I think it's everybody just pay close attention to the words that he's saying. It's going to cut into all their profit out there if we start dividing this ranch up for other nonprofits. And that's a really serious consideration. So I'm glad that Dr. Heyman is looking at other acreage, and maybe it's the same thing for the buffalo. I'm not sure what the goal is. I'm not even sure what the management number is with buffalo. You know, I thought we had 75 buffalo and they were just going to live this wonderful little life out on the ranch, and we'd see some new buffalo once in a while and yahoo. But you know, if we're going to, Dr. Heyman, do you know how many buffalo we have at this time?
We're currently assessing the herd. I'd say probably as of today, we're about 200 animals or so.
Okay. So we've already grown from 75 to 200 just through donation, particularly. So, you know, I just can't say it enough. You guys have got to manage these herds to fit what we've got as resources.
And may I speak?
Congresswoman Lemon and then Mr. Freeman.
Okay, so so help me, educate me on what our end goal is with our bison herd. And then I have more questions on that, because if we're gonna continue to grow it, and they're going to continue to need more acreage, and even more acreage because we're in drought, then that cuts in to the dividend we want them to. So there's that balance again. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's the best thing for the nation. So what is the goal of the bison? Is it preserve or is it conservancy, or is it a mixture of the two? And then what are you doing with the byproducts? And what are the byproducts?
So my perspective in natural resources, and I believe in conversations with Chief, the goal of the herd is as a conservation herd. It is to be a cultural input for the Osage people. Like, for example, animals that are culled, we're giving the opportunity for Osage people to use any part of the animal. So obviously we have the meat, but we also keep back the heads, the hides, the skull caps or the horn caps. Anything specific, we're recognizing the needs, the cultural needs and requests that we get. And so we're working very hard to not just dispose of non-meat. We want to keep all those other things so people can make drums and any other item. But we're not trying to grow the herd. We're trying to get the herd where it needs to be on an animal unit perspective on the existing property. So we're not on the existing acreage. So we don't want to grow the herd past what the land is capable of carrying. If we're able to acquire more land, then we can, you know, push out and grow the herd. But we're just trying to get in a conservation-minded way the herd where it needs to be on carrying capacity and to the point that there's enough natural forage so there's not any inputs, that it's very hands-off, a natural herd, completely wild, more or less. So that's our goal, and we've been working with the Nature Conservancy. They have been very kind and shared their management plan for their herd, so we're not trying to adopt their management plan entirely, but use it as a foundation for us, because we are processing some animals along the way, some cull animals and thin cows, older calves, things like that, to get the herd in a where it needs to be. Yes, healthy.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Stabler?
Chair, do you think we could have a 5-minute recess, and then if we could go into, we're limited on time now, and we could go ahead and hear from OIS or about OIS.
Okay.
Second.
Right, 5 minutes.
Sorry, I'm just determined we're going to get through OIS. I'm trying to.
Did you recess without objection? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, what did you say, Caitlin? Like to recess without objection.